out in front. Come in, Jim Shelton from the north turn.
Okay, who will it be? Who will be leading the pack as they pass here on the north turn? Can Faulkner withstand the onrushing Freddy Agabation? Agabation and Faulkner. Let's see how they're doing in the home stretch. Bill Slater.
Here they come into the straightaway at the conclusion of the first lap of this 200-lap, 500-mile race here at Indianapolis. Out in front is Maury Rose.
Rose in front. Okay, we're headed into the south turn again. Let's take you again into the south turn to see if anything happens there. Go in there in a bunch.
Going up into the southeast turn. He was crowded very close to the southeast turn by Walt Faulkner. And as they had to be back straightaway, Maury Rose put the gas to her, and he began to lengthen that pace between Faulkner and Rose up the back stretch. The last three cars passed equally bunched, and now to the north turn where Jim Shelton will probably pick up Maury Rose first.
Well, as they passed up here, Maury Rose had a fairly good lead. The other cars were pretty close. It was Maury Rose, Walt Faulkner, and Freddy Agabation. Now, here they come for the second lap. It is still Rose. It is Faulkner and number 28, Freddy Agabation. And they're spread out behind in Faulkner. They're now in the home stretch once again. So Bill Slater, come in and tell us who's leading there.
Here they come into the straightaway for the conclusion of the second lap of this race. Maury Rose is still out in front. Walt Faulkner is in second place. There goes Rose tearing by now. Here goes Faulkner. And in third place is Agabation. Right after them is Jimmy Parsons. Right after them comes Dwayne Carter. And the race is settling down, getting itself underway after a tremendous grouping at the start. When they went into that first south turn down there, my heart came right up in my mouth. Because when you get 33 cars jamming into the first turn and the race is being run as rapidly as this one has started to be run here at Indianapolis today, you have tremendous possibilities, and some of them are fairly grim. Now, from here on, the race appears to be settling down. The cars are spacing out a little bit, with the leaders, as we told you when they went past here at the end of the first two laps, Maury Rose setting a terrific pace, driving number 31. Maury Rose has got a bit of a score to settle today with Lou Moore, and we'll tell you more about that later on. In second place was Walt Faulkner, the fellow who qualified with that tremendous qualifying time of 134 miles an hour and ran one of his qualifying laps in 136 miles an hour, which is tremendous tearing around at high speed of this track here at Indianapolis. I'm going to be checking over here because I want to read down the list of entries of the men who have entered these cars in just a moment. But before I do that, I'd like to turn to Sid Collins and see if there's anything particular he's picked up as they complete the third lap of this 200-mile lap race here at Indianapolis. Sid, picked up anything?
Yes, indeed, Bill. First of all, there were three cars who weren't able to get underway for the pace lap right away. In fact, by the time the cars reached the south turn, Walt Ader in the Samson Special, car number 27, was still back here in his particular row getting ready to get started and couldn't seem to get that car underway. Walt was back in the middle of the 10th row in 29th position. Maury Rose is still leading the pack. The Blue Crown Specials are pretty well bunched up together. There goes Jerry Hart, the youngest driver in the race, and other Blue Crown entries. Car number 8, driven by Lee Wallard, one of the rear drive cars. The Blue Crown, two front drive, two rear drive teams, is trailing Bettenhausen, Holland, and Connor, the other three entries in that particular pack. Duke Dinsmore had some trouble getting started and is now rather far back in the pack, and the Cummins Diesel Special is settling down to holding back behind the rear of the other cars as well. Dwayne Carter in the Bellinger Special, number 18, had difficulty getting started, which made the total of three, but now is underway and all cars are running, and unusually enough, in spite of the tremendous speed they started this race off, not a single car has come in on the first or second lap, which sometimes happens. Bill, do you have these lined up now?
I'd like to run down the list of the entries because, as I think most of you race fans know, it costs between $25,000 and $75,000 to enter a car in this Indianapolis Motor Speedway Classic. So I'd like to tell you who the men are who have entered the cars that these various drivers are piloting around the race course here today. Incidentally, there went Maury Rose going by, and he's on his fifth lap now, fourth lap rather, and Maury Rose is still ahead by a fairly good margin. The car entered that Johnny Parsons is driving was entered by the Curtis Trapp people of St. Louis. Myron Forrest's car, number 2, was entered by Carr Marchese of Milwaukee. Bill Holland of Reading, Pennsylvania, is driving one of Lou Moore's cars, Lou Moore of North Hollywood, who is the first man ever to qualify four cars in one race here in Indianapolis. Walt Brown's car was entered by Charles Pritchard of Blue Island, Illinois. George Connor's car is another Lou Moore car. Paul Russo's car is one that he and Ray Nichols put together in their place over in Hammond, Indiana, and they entered it together. Lee Wallard's car is another one of the Lou Moore entries. Henry Banks is driving a car entered by the Indianapolis Race Cars Incorporated. Tony Bettenhausen is another Lou Moore driver. Mac Hellings, it was driving a car entered by Charlie Pritchard of Blue Island, Illinois. Joey Chitwood's car was entered by Irving Wolf of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Dwayne Carter's car is a Merle Belanger Crown Point, Indiana car. Spider Webb's car was entered by R.A. Cott of Detroit, Michigan. Pat Clancy of Memphis, Tennessee entered the car that Jimmy Davies is driving. Sam Hanks' car was entered by Milt Marion of Jericho, Long Island. Bayless Leverett's car from Glendale, California. Is Bayless Leverett. He's Rex May's hometown. Richdell Palmer of Indianapolis entered Leverett's car. Walt Ader's car was entered by the Samson Manufacturing people of Indianapolis. It's a Curtis Craft car from St. Louis that Fred Akavasian is driving in second position now. Maury Rose's car was entered by the Howard Tech Company of Los Angeles. Dick Rathman of Alhambra, California is driving a car entered by A.J. Watson of Glendale, California. Jack Hinkle of Wichita, Kansas entered Jack McGrath's car. Cecil Green is driving one entered by M.A. Walker of Oklahoma City. The Bose Racing People Incorporated of Indianapolis entered the car that Troy Ruttman is driving. Pat Flaherty's car was entered by the Granker Automotive People of Chicago. Jimmy Jackson's car by the Cummings Engineering Company of Columbus, Indiana. It's the only oil-burning car in the race today. Johnny McDowell's car entered by Pete Wales of Dayton, Ohio. It's an auto shipper special that Bill Shindler, the one-legged driver from Freeport, Long Island, is driving. Duke Dinsmore's car was entered by Verlin Brown of Richmond, Indiana. Joe Langley of Indianapolis here entered Gene Hartley's car. Jim Rathman is driving one entered by John Lorenz of Chicago. Norm Olson of Grosse Pointe, Michigan entered Jackie Holmes' car. Joey Hart's driving one entered by Dr. L.D. Morris of Mount Carmel, Illinois. And J.C. Agajanian of San Pedro, California entered the car that Walt Faulkner is driving. And now while we get the complete lineup and up to date on what's happening in these early laps of this 500-mile race here in Indiana, here with a message for you is George Young.
Who's your choice as today's winner? Whoever it is, it's a sure thing that his mechanics have done their very best to put that car in top condition. And you know, the experienced mechanics here at the Speedway install perfect circles because they're convinced that no other piston rings are made with the same care and precision, engineered as thoroughly or tested as completely. That's why America's doctors of motors, expert mechanics everywhere, show their piston ring preference by installing millions of perfect circles every year. Superior engineering always means powerful, dependable, economical performance. Yes, on speedway or highway, the driver who depends on perfect circles gets the best out of his car, regardless of its age, make, model, or engine condition. So to save gas, increase power, and stop oil pumping, ask your doctor of motors, your favorite mechanic, to install perfect circles. He'll respect your judgment when you do.
Thank you very much, George. Now, looking at the pits, I see that number 24, Bayless Leverett's car, has gone into the pits down there. And here's the way the cars stand now as they're in the seventh lap of this 500-mile lap race. Still out in front is Maury Rose. Moving into second position now is Johnny Parsons. Freddie Agabasian is in third position. Walt Faulkner is in fourth position. And in fifth position now is Joey Chitwood. That's the way the first five cars are lined up now as we go, as I told you a moment ago, into the seventh lap. The race got off to a splendid start, a beautiful start, with all of the cars staying well behind the pace car as they were instructed to do. As a matter of fact, they were threatened with disqualification, or rather they were threatened with the loss of a lap if they jumped the pace car, as six of them did last year when Wilbur Shaw drove the pace car. But behind Benson Ford and the Lincoln Mercury pace car, they all kept their positions, drove into that first turn in a tremendously tight-packed bunch, which made that first turn particularly thrilling, but they negotiated it without any mishap or any accident. I think we'll swing around the track now to see if there are any particular things that have been picked up by our men. I think it would be best for us to take a look down in the pits where they have their first customer of the day, because as we told you a little while ago, a lot of this story is told, insofar as the ultimate outcome of the race is concerned, by what happens down there in the pits. Gordon Graham, you hear us down there? Anything happening?
Righto. Bayless Leverett, red car number 24, made the first pit stop of the race. I think that was on his fourth or fifth lap. And Babe Stapp, the old-time driver here at Indianapolis, has raced 13 races, has been bird-dogging it down in Bayless's pit down there. And Babe tells us that the reason he came in, and it's something that happens at least once at the start of every race, he had too much oil in his car. Babe's back up here now. Babe, that's a case of the oil getting warm, overflowing. There wasn't enough room allowed for expansion. Isn't
that's
that right?
Right. And then the oil out of the crankcase getting in there, and the tank won't hold that much.
Righto. Well, that happens, it's safe to say, at least once in every race, doesn't it, Babe?
There's always one or two of them in every race.
These pit crews are so anxious that their car continue in good operation all through the race, they're likely to overdo a few things, and this is just one of the things where it's so easy to make a little mistake, and your car has to come out of the race for a moment for a little adjustment early in the race. The pit crews are all standing up here, every man jack of them with 1 foot poised on the pit wall, staring up toward that north turn and the straightaway, looking for that familiar color, that combination of colors on which their hopes are riding. At the present moment, there's little activity other than that, but the anxiety is apparent on the face of every man in these pit crews, Bill. And now, from the pits, we take you back up to the pagoda.
Thank you, Gordon Graham. Now, back up here in the pagoda, we've had a little bit of a flash as far as the timing is concerned. The time for the fourth lap was 125.1 miles per hour, which is a tremendous speed, and 125 miles an hour, that was established by Maury Rose on the fourth lap, and it's Maury Rose's intention, if he can carry it out, if his engine will permit, to to drive at a very steady, and he's a steady driver, to drive at a very steady 125 miles per hour. Of course, a tremendous amount of attention is centered on Maury Rose because he has won the race three times, and there are only two other men in history who have duplicated that feat, Louis Meyer and Wilbur Shaw. And if Rose can win today, he will be the first man in the history of the 500-mile track here at Indianapolis to win four times in this great Memorial Day Classic. As things stand now, going into the ninth lap, we're about halfway through the ninth lap. Rose is still out in front. In second position is Johnny Parsons. In third position is Fred Agabasian. And in fourth position is Walt Faulkner. Now I'm going to turn over to Sid Collins here to see if he's picked up any highlights of the early moments of this race here at Indianapolis. Sid?
Bill, I've been watching in particular the official starter over there, Seth Klein. And this has been a very clean race with completely perfect control of the cars because as yet the starter, Seth Klein, has only had to fly the blue and orange flag one time to even signify to move over for passing. So that bespeaks very well of the caution and the integrity of these drivers here on the track. Now Freddie Agabasian is getting that flag as Walt Faulkner closes in on him as they go into the south turn. And the three blue crowns are very close together in the order of 5, 14, and 3, which is George Conner, followed by Tony Bettenhausen, and last year's winner, Bill Holland. And Lee Wallace is trailing as that particular team of those four very favorite blue crown specials. Bill?
Let's take a closer look at Maury Rose, who is leading the race right now and who has a chance, as I told you a moment ago, of becoming the first man in the history of this classic to win four times in a row if Rose can pull it out today. Oddly enough, most of the eyes are on Maury Rose today, and he's the oldest man driving the race. He's 44 years old, a three-time winner, as I told you. Back in 1938, he relieved Floyd Davis and went on to victory. Then he drove the victory for Lou Moore here in 47 and 48. The car that Maury Rose is driving today is not a Lou Moore car. There have been some differences of opinion between him and Lou Moore, and so he's not driving a Moore car this year, and with Moore having four other cars entered, you can imagine there's a bit of a feud developing there, and we will see it spelled out on the track here today so far as Maury Rose and his ex-employer are concerned. The car that Rose is driving today is a four-cylinder, 270-inch piston displacement, front-drive car in Offenhauser. He qualified it at 132 miles an hour. That car was 10th in 1948. It was 6th in 1949. And today, Maury Rose hopes to bring it in as number one. Jim Rathman, one of the California boys, has gone into the pits now for a moment, and so has Duke Dinsmore, who was born in West Virginia. Now, let me see precisely how the cars stand right now. We're into the 11th lap at this particular point, and the cars stand still in this same fashion. In first position now is Johnny Parsons. Maury Rose has been passed by Parsons, and Johnny Parsons, who came in second and is the AAA champion for 1949, has taken the lead here at Indianapolis. Last year as a freshman, he held back a little bit, and consequently in the latter stages of the race, he had to drive up through there in order to place second as he did, which was pretty good for a freshman at Indianapolis. Rose is in second position now. Freddie Agabasian is in third position. In fourth position now is Paul Russo. And fifth position has been changing right now. Just a moment ago, fifth position was held down by Jimmy Davies, I believe. Now, that's exactly the way things stand here in this first broadcast from Indianapolis. To show you again how we're covering the track for you here in this Perfect Circle broadcast over Mutual Exclusive, I want to swing around to our other vantage points. We've had reports from the pits, and I'd like to have Easy Gwynn tell us in just about 20 seconds if there's anything special happening down there at the south turn. Easy?
Well, there's nothing special happening down here. The boys are negotiating both turns very nicely. They're spread out so they're not crowding each other on the turns. And they're really going into the backstretch with quite a bit of energy. That's all the activity here at the present time, except you can hear them continuously passing by one after the other. Okay, Bill?
Spider Webb has gone into the pits for a pit stop now. There have been about four pit stops in the early stages of this race, but by and large, as Easy Gwynn told you, and as we have reported to you, Sid Collins and I from the Pagoda here, things are going very, very smoothly in the opening of this race, and the predicted speed, this is supposed to be the fastest of all of the 500-mile classics at Indianapolis, the predicted speed is working itself out. Here's exactly how they stand now. At the end of the first 12 laps, there are 200 two-and-a-half-mile laps to this race, so you can't tell anything very conclusive by what has happened so far. But at the end of 12 laps, Jimmy Parsons is still in front. Maury Rose is in second position. Freddie Agabasian is in third position. And Walt Faulkner is in fourth position. Now, friends, you've been listening to the start of the Indianapolis 500-mile race presented by the makers and distributors of Perfect Circles, the piston rings chosen by men who know. The men who make and service America's cars. Men who have been servicing cars as we approach the start of this great speed classic here at Indianapolis this year. Perfect Circle people who want you to consult your doctor of motors when selecting new parts for your car are very happy to bring you this broadcast. And you're invited, friends, to stay tuned to this station for the next Perfect Circle broadcast of the race, which will be coming along very soon. Bill Slater speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The Voice of the Magic City, KBMY, in Billings. You're cordially invited to listen again at 10:30 for the next exciting broadcast direct from the Indianapolis Speedway, brought to you by Keefe Auto Supply, 3019 Montana Avenue. For the fourth consecutive year over this station, tune in again at 10:30 this morning. Current temperature, 64 degrees. The time is 9:15.
Well, well, hello, John. Look who's here. I haven't seen you in many a year. If I knew you were coming.
Oh, I don't know. It's only been a half hour.
Bake the cake. Bake the cake. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake the cake.
Boy, they really cut our old coffee club down this morning, didn't they?
Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band. Grandest band in the land. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band. Spread the welcome mat for you. Now I don't know where you came from, 'cause I don't know where you've been. But it really doesn't matter, grab a chair and fill your platter and dig, dig, dig right in. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake, hired a band, goodness sake. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. Hatch-a-do, hatch-a-do, hatch-a-do.
Well, coffee club we've got coming up now. 15 more minutes of recorded and transcribed music. And I don't know, we might as well get going. Here's Dean Martin with the Muskrat Ramble.
Look at them shuffling and shuffling down, rambling and scrambling ahead in town, hustling, bustling, buzzing around, happily awaiting at the station. Look at the train, the number 709, puffing and puffing, arriving on time. Well, who do you think's about to arrive? The band they call the Dixieland Five. They're gonna play that Muskrat Ramble tune the way you never ever heard it played. Get ready for the big parade. All together now, one and two. Come on and join the happy throng. Feel the beat of that rambling, scrambling muskrat song. Come on and ramble along.